exhausted.
Yesterday we learned the Gemara about the six descendants of Rus. We have six brachas.
Right.
And the Gemara talks about the different ones, and then it talks about the Mashiach. Mashiach has six brachas.
Why does he get six?
The question. You can ask him when you get there.
Ship. I am the best.
He has Ruach Chochma, Bina, Ruach Eitza, Gvura, Ruach Das, V'yos Hashem. That's six. And then after it tells us the six, it brings another pasuk, a seventh thing. So if we're talking about sixes, why are we bringing a seventh thing? Meiricha b'yiras Hashem. He's meiriach with yiras Hashem. Meiriach means either he smells, he sniffs yiras Hashem, or he's like a grindstone with yiras Hashem. Tupshata. That's one thing we learned.
It must have come up with these proofs why it's not him. It's not him. That's not really important for right now. Maybe you should,
The Dinbar brings a maisel Bar Kochba that they put him to death because he couldn't smell with the Yiras Hashem. So you see that this
what seven... What do you mean he couldn't?
They brought a case in front of him. They asked him to paskin on it based on smell. Because he couldn't do it, they killed him. It's a pella.
Yeah.
You guys can't miss it because you can't pass on the smell. But that's that Gemara.
It's a traffic light here.
How do we have a kasha?
There's a traffic light.
The Gemara says the Mashiach is blessed with six brachas. Each one of the brachas is some kind of a faculty of das. Ruach Chochma, Bina, Eitza, Gvura, Das, Yiras Hashem. So that's six. The seventh one that he smells. The seventh one that he could smell. He could smell Vadayin. He could smell with certainty. If that's a seventh thing, then he has seven brachas, not six brachas. So the emphasis, the Gemara is really asking that question. The Gemara brings a pasuk that there's six brachas. And then the Gemara answers, what do you do with this seventh pasuk? And then the Gemara answers, that's different, that's because he's smelling, he's pasuking with smell. That's a teretz. When the Gemara says that pasuk, v'yericha b'yiras Hashem, that he smells, that he could pasuk with smell, that's a teretz to kasha. The Gemara is saying it's not really a seventh thing. Now, in what way is something not a seventh thing? If we're saying that the six brachas that he has, and there's a seventh thing which he has, in what way is that not a seventh thing? And the teretz of this question is that when you're discussing brachas, so then you have six things that he's blessed with. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu blessed him with these six things, and Pashtus is because his great-great-grandmother was Rus. When you're talking about a seventh thing...
Why not other great-great-grandchildren also?
Well, there's six of them. The Gemara has six of them. David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Vazari.
Yeah.
Because they chose to be that. They went for it. V'yericha b'yiras Hashem, that's obviously not a blessing that he was blessed with. It was a blessing that he was blessed with. He'll have said, v'yericha b'yiras Hashem is something which touches up, which defines his persona. That's something which he is. That's not something he's blessed with. That's the Amkus in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that you have seven psukim that describe him, And the Gemara is bringing all seven because we have, it's a challenge. We have a problem with this. We have a problem with this. How could you say there's only six blessings if there's seven psukim? And the Gemara is answering, no, that's not a bracha. That's Beiricha B'yiras Hashem. That's the Merach Badayim. That's something which he does because of what he is. That's not a blessing. Hashem blesses him with Chachma. Hashem blesses him with Bina. Hashem blesses him with Das. Merach Badayim is what he is. It's cardinal.
What he is in
his yeah, so what is it?
Well, maybe you could say it's something everybody should have, so it's not something specific to him.
Well, if he were...
Well, but Kachma didn't have it, and they killed him, so I guess not everybody has it.
I'm saying that it's something that's a more usual thing for people to have. I mean, you know, that...
To Paskin, whether somebody is Chayav or Pata because he smells him?
What do you mean?
That's what Merach Vadayin is.
It means to smell someone and be able to tell if they're Chayav or Pata.
Yes,
what?
That, were you here by...
yesterday?
Yeah.
No, yesterday I wasn't here.
That's the shot.
Oh.
We did the Gemara till here. We didn't explain anything.
What does it mean to smell? To sense or to smell?
What does it mean to smell? No, what does it mean to smell?
Could be something he worked
smell
on
is
for himself. It wasn't something that's like given to him by Hashem.
But that's not true.
You could say smell is a certain level of connection to like spirituality that it's not.
Why?
It's
why
not like you? Like a bracha that's bestowed upon you. It's
smell.
It's like
no, that's abnormal.
Kind
that's
of like a connection
most
that you yourself refine.
Is that something which is a yeah? But you know, in your concept of Mashiach,
yeah,
is that something which is a cardinal aspect? They should be able to do that.
Okay.
If you can't,
so
you should kill him.
To kill him?
Yeah, but Kachma was killed because he said he was Mashiach and he couldn't do it.
Let's say it is a bracha. These are six additional
bracha. They tested
so either, no matter how you're going to explain it, it, that doesn't mean anything.
I mean,
they gave him the Pepsi challenge.
It shows a level of completeness of ability. I mean, it's not necessarily its own midah. It's kind of something that's brought about by other things, other factors. It's not its own thing.
Really? You say? Hi?
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
He can smell Gan Eden, like, he can smell Gan Eden.
Unless he couldn't smell before.
Yeah. What? Well, is it a blessing?
I don't know.
There's somebody in a Belazer, the town of Belazer, was called Mara de Arad Yisrael. He was called the Master of Eretz Yisrael. Because he was able to use his sense of smell to tell the difference between different types of blood that come out of a woman's body. We don't have this faculty. We don't have this ability anymore. When blood comes out of a woman's body, it doesn't matter what it is, she's tummy to her husband. We don't know. We don't have this anymore. The Belazar was able to tell whether it came from the normal period, like a cycle, the menstrual period, or sometimes when a woman is filled with some type of, she's gripped with a taiva or passion, so then the blood will also flow. And that doesn't make her into an idiot. That's one of the reasons for the minhag. The chasna and kala don't see each other a week before the chasna. Because you want to minimize the opportunity that they have to experience passionate emotions. It causes a woman to become a nida, and you want to try and avoid that before the chasna. It's one of the reasons. It's a minhag. It's not a halacha. It's a minhag. It's a minhag. It's a minhag. A woman, when she's in the grips of passion, that causes change in her system. And Rabbi Elazar was able to smell the blood, and he was able to tell whether it was from Dam Nida, and she's Tameh, and whether it was Dam of Chimud. Chimud means Chemda, means desire. And then she's not Tameh to her husband. It's amazing enough he was able to do it, but he was called the Master of Eretz Yisrael because of such a thing. I mean, you have to want to understand that. So, yeah, we could... There's a couple things here. Let's just give a couple more examples. When somebody's dead, one of the ways they determine if he's dead is they take a feather and they put it by his nose. If it moves, he's alive. If it doesn't move, he's dead. He's a gnome. That's how life is detected, is to the nose. Not through the level of brain activity. I mean, this is something which became prominent in the Jewish world about, I don't know, like 18 years ago, that there were those in the rabbinate that wanted to determine brain death. The brain death should be determined as the point when a human is considered dead.
I thought it was more than 18. Did Moshe rule
out? No, he did not rule on it.
Moshe does everything.
And Moshe did not rule on it.
That's not good.
Moshe rules on everything.
It was said that he ruled on it. He did not rule on it. Moshe did not rule on it. The Gemara says that the two things that determine cessation of life is heartbeat and respiratory arrest.
Well, Rebbe, there are surgeries now where they stop your heart for an hour.
Doesn't matter.
Do surgery and then bring you back to life.
It doesn't matter.
They freeze your body first, basically.
They freeze fine. So that's different. They freeze the body then. That's different.
They bring your body down to 30 degrees.
That's different. That's different. But if a live person is not frozen, his heart stops beating, he's dead. Why do they freeze the guy? Why can't they just stop the heart? Tell you the truth. Because that's dead. He's dead.
Die.
Okay, so you're... That's an exception.
You can freeze a person and he stays alive?
They chill him, and then it's not like they stop him totally and completely. You just make less of a need. It's not totally and completely.
It's very controlled.
This was an issue. This is a tremendous issue. It's Lemazaman or Yasha Paskin, that you have Chazal's guidelines. There was some kind of testing to detect brain activity passing between the brain, through the brain stem, to the rest of the body, to see if, you know, like the brain is talking to the rest of the body, whether there's any communication. If there's any nerve activity that crosses over the synapses, I think it's called nuclei testing. And they were able to determine that there's no communication between the brain and the rest of the body, and they wanted to use it as a basis to determine the time of death. And Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yasha both said that the Gemara says beferish that the way to determine death is the heart stops beating and the person stops breathing. If a person is breathing and his heart is beating, he's alive. And brainwave activity is not...
Even if that's artificially induced?
See, that's the problem. You are correct. If the guy is not breathing, if the guy's heart is not beating, it's just that they have him hooked up to a... You know, they could take a corpse. I guess it would have to be shortly after death. And they could hook the corpse up to a machine and they could make the lungs inflate.
Yeah, but Rebbe, the cells, once the body dies,
doesn't matter.
Even if they put it right back on a respirator right away, a second later,
I know, but the heart's
it will stop reproducing cells, the body.
The heart is going to beat and the lungs are going to...
Yeah, but the body will disintegrate on the table after a couple of days.
Okay, so you at least have a couple of days where
fine.
Where a doctor will not be able to tell whether the person's dead or alive. And I'm sure that there's people that are on life support that are dead. At this very minute, people that are on life support that are dead at this very moment. But how could you tell? There's only one way of telling.
Take them off and see if they keep breathing.
Right. Are you allowed to take it off? No, they're breathing. But are you allowed to take it off?
No, I mean...
What if they're alive?
I don't know.
What if they're alive? Do you know what the status of a person that's at the threshold of death is called a geisis?
You can't do anything.
You don't have to touch the person.
Yeah.
So you have a suffix geisis. Suffix derives l'chavra, which means you can't touch him.
It means you can't do it ever.
You can't take it off. Until you're sure that they're not breathing.
But you can't be sure
they're not breathing.
This is a dilemma.
Don't touch them, then. Throw in gloves or something. So do you ever have a head to put
someone
on?
But then you take it off, you'll be killing them.
So Rebbe, do you ever have a head to put someone on? Because that creates the suffix.
The Paiskim deal with the dynamics of the permissibility of not putting them on. Not putting them on is less of an issue than taking them off once.
Really? Not saving their life?
Depends on what's wrong with them. I'm not going to get into details.
This is a case-by-case thing, isn't it?
I'm not going to get into details.
Sounds like a big case.
I'm not going to get into details. Because you have someone that is he's holding, he has a terminal illness, and he's in a very fragile condition, and threading a catheter through his veins till it reaches his heart, in order to shock the heart into beating normally, that could also kill him. He's that far gone. So you have a Suffolk. Do you take these extraordinary measures in order to save him? You have to take into account, number one, he's going to die for sure anyway. He has a terminal illness. There's no cure for this illness. He's going to die anyway. So at the most, you're going to give him quality of life, or you're going to extend his life. But but it's not going to cure him. Number two, the very methods they're using to prolong his life could shorten his life. So that's a case for a Shiloh for a Pesach. But once he's on, so you did it already. For whatever reason, you did it. You asked the Pesach, he's on. When you take it off, you're killing him. You understand? If you decide not to put him on, you're not killing him.
Could you make a Shliach and say in Shliach at Paravera?
That would summon someone's fight.
You can't play with these things. I can't.
You can't
play with these things. Like, I'm not even gonna answer the question. I know someone that he looked up a tshuva for a Moshe when his mother was terminally ill in the hospital, and based on what he saw on the Igros Moshe, he told the nurse to do something, and he told me about it, and I looked it up because it sounded strange. And I found the Ramesha had four tshuvas about it. And of the four tshuvas, the only one that sounded like it was okay to do what he did was that one. And the other three said not to.
And that one was published after he died.
And he didn't know. He didn't see.
What's one of those?
The details are different. You know, Ramesha didn't write all the details in a question.
Why?
I don't know. And if you saw all the other tshuvas, then you would be out of your mind thinking that you actually passed them based on the one tshuva. And I do want to suggest to anybody that looks through halakha books that you don't paskin on your own if you don't know what you're doing, because you can make big mistakes. Ask first. And even someone at the Talmud Chacham, especially by Rav Moshe Sefer, should not even think of coming to any conclusion until he sees all the Rav Moshe wrote about the subject. And then ask someone, right, you know, and tell me the Pikuach Nefesh for sure. And even things that are not Pikuach Nefesh, because they're very complex and they change. There's one small detail that changes. So that's why this child I'd not want to... I asked my Rebbe what to do. I said, it's a very sensitive issue. Should I tell the guy that he almost killed his mother?
Kill his mother?
Well, she passed away, and he told the nurse to mess with something, and it was a Kashash of Pikuach Nefesh. So, you know, could you do that to a kid that's on a veilus? On the other end, if you let it go, you might do it again.
So what did your Rebbe call?
Why would he do it again?
Rebbe
just
said
later.
Photocopy the other tshuvas and send it to him without comment.
Did he know it was from you?
Yeah, but he said, just right, I thought he'd be interested in seeing these.
Did he ever speak to you about them?
No. Kachaze.
Is it Doraisa or?
Of course it's Doraisa. It's a very... It's
killing somebody?
So if you don't do it, then you didn't kill anyone. Right.
Okay.
So is it something Doraisa considered Doraisa?
Well, I didn't tell you what he did. I didn't tell you the details. So why are you asking me questions? It's something I'm not going to tell you the details. Hey, Leach.
Sounds pretty bad if you so badly want to send that to.
I'm a very sneaky guy. Do you know that?
You are.
Do you know already why?
Hmm?
Do you know why?
No.
Do you know why I was sneaky today?
Why were you sneaky?
When you find out, you know why I was sneaky.
You just won $1 million.
That sounds very shady.
Made me very, very curious. That's,
yes, be prepared to be sneaked.
The way you just said that sounds very sneaky, Rebbe.
Yes.
Okay. Rebbe, I'm locking myself in your room for the rest of the day.
It's not going to help you.
Rebbe, my room is...
Rebbe, I'm going to spread the dust around.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm getting sores today, Rabbi.
I got you covered.
I just want to kill it.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Ryan.
And there was a rabbinic authority that they wanted to base it on.
I've got you covered too.
PDI testing.
Which rabbinic authorities?
And they claimed that Ramesha said it. Whether he did or he didn't, it was after Ramesha passed away. So there was a psak for her maitre that no one had ever heard from her maitre except for the one that said it.
Was this Rabbi Tamlich?
And the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Yashiv disagreed with it. So you don't paskin like a psak that wasn't heard from the person himself, connected with Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Yashiv. And Euclidean testing wasn't included as a valid means of determining death. Well, there was an agenda behind this as well, because there was a big push for a certain organization for its members to sign organ donor cards. Now, we'll all know that if you have to wait until somebody stops breathing or their heartbeat stops beating before you cut out the organs, then the organs are no longer any good. The heart has to be a beating heart.
Right.
They get these things from people that are brain dead. And then they take the heart out while they're still on the machines.
Really?
And which, according to Shlomo Zalman Rabbi Yashiv, could never happen.
Because
they're on the machines, they're alive. They're alive, you can't cut their heart out. But according to this rabbinic authority, so-called authority, so as soon as you do a nucleidi testing, they're dead, and if they're dead, you can take it out. And that's why the two things were related. The brain death plus the organ donor were two related things. And,
who was the authority that said this?
Sojanar.
I'm not going on record as saying who that is. It's not the point. I want to give you a hashkav bashir and bash people. So
do we have a halacha shira?
But this is we're learning Gemara now. The purpose of the Gemara now, my purpose in telling you these things now, is to talk to you about the Chosh HaReach. The nose is the place where you can tell whether someone's alive or not, not the brain. Not the brain. Why am I telling you this? Because I want to make a point to you. Let's say there's no brain activity. There isn't. You know, you could defeat this logic in two ways. Either you could say that the test is not foolproof.
Which it isn't.
All right, but even if it is, I'm saying even if it is, cessation of brain, the brain wave activity does not determine life and death. It's the nose.
The nose knows.
I'll give you an example.
The Gemara says that it's the nose, and what's the other thing? The heart.
Heart.
So why would the Rabbanon, whoever it was that declared this, even have an idea to say that it's the brain? Where do they come from with that?
I'm not prepared to answer them up. The another example, there's a Gemara that talks about... There's a Gemara that talks about testifying with a person that... You know, whether a lady is free to get married or not. And let's say they see the lady's husband, you know, or they're not sure if it's the lady's husband, but a building falls down on top of somebody, and only part of him is sticking out. And witnesses testify that it looked like the lady's husband. So the dayanim ask the witnesses, which part of him did you see? You saw the back of his head. That's not good. But I'm telling you, I know the way the back of his head looks. That's not good. The luck is they have to see the face, and they have to see the part of the face that has the nose in it.
What does that mean?
That means they have to see the person's nose in order to identify him. That's what it means. The identity of a person, what makes him him and not someone else, is his nose. Let's go on to another example. Baisai. You having fun?
Everyone has a different nose.
Let's go to another example.
My phone?
Or like Noah, like he,
what did you say? Did you say am I having fun or do I have my phone?
That's a very
so
good
it was
example.
Like a one sense that's like special. Yeah. Or like
yes, you're very, very much on the mark, Chaim.
Everyone has a different nose?
Chaim, you know, you're very, very good. You think very straight in these things. You have a future. You have a good future in being a Talmud Chacham. It's good, it's good. You're on the mark. Let's go on to another thing. When something's alive, what's the most live thing that you can imagine? I'm saying, you might not get it.
The most what thing you can imagine?
The most live thing. The most live thing, the most alive thing in the whole world that you can possibly imagine.
An elephant has the biggest nose.
Baby. A newborn baby.
Or that.
It's full of life. He's not used up. He's not like old and burned out like I am. A newborn baby.
Or any little.
Do you ever?